It is amazing grace, isn't it? Certainly undeserved favor by God. In the context of this, the writer of Hebrews says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I think oftentimes the thought is, if there's grace, then obviously there is no condemnation. But nothing could be further from the truth. Because if, in fact, you reject that grace, there is no greater condemnation that could come on you. And what a wonderful thing that God has been gracious to us and has offered us eternal life in the fact that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But there is a decision, isn't there? There is a time. If you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, one of the questions that came in was dealing specifically with this whole issue of tolerance. The question goes something like this: is tolerance bad? If we tolerate stuff, does that mean we aren't true believers? But is this what Jesus would want? It's an interesting question. I think it's probably best just to go right to where Jesus is and look at him and see what he does and what he says. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, Jesus declares that we are actually blessed if we've been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, which is telling us that if we're doing the right thing, as Paul writes to Timothy, we're going to suffer persecution. We're going to, that's a given, if you do the right thing. If you walk in righteousness, the world is not going to like you, which almost immediately puts us in a situation in which the world is not tolerant about us. What I'm seeing today is, the world is not just satisfied with doing wrong. They want you to do it with them. And if you don't think the way they think, then they begin to be, if we can use their word, intolerant against us, or hostile against us. But Jesus was clearly with absolutes. And I think oftentimes when we use the phrase tolerance, what we're talking about is we want people to not have any absolutes. We don't want them to believe in anything. That, whatever is, and whatever this person wants it to be, and they want us, once again, to agree with them in that. Jesus was clearly a man with absolutes. He was God. And he's the one that declared those absolutes. In fact, his statement is, don't think that I came to abolish law, verse 17, right, in chapter 5. But I came to fulfill it. If you look within this very same chapter, he begins to hit pretty hard. And if we're patterning our lives after Jesus, we would probably define him as being intolerant. Read with me verse 21. You have heard that the angels were told, you shall not commit murder. Whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. Whoever shall say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go to the hell of fire. Now that was Jesus that said that. Sounds a little intolerant to me. Verse 27, you have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Verse 29, and if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out. Doesn't seem very tolerant to me. Throw it from you. It is better for you that one of your parts of your body perish than for your whole body to be thrown in hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off. Throw it from you. It is better for you that one of your parts of your body perish than your whole body go into hell. Yes, actually, Jesus used the word hell. Sounds pretty intolerant to me, if you think about it. Chapter 11 of Matthew, we read, in which Jesus is going to certain cities, and in particular, Chorazin, and he says, you didn't repent. You saw these miracles and you didn't repent. Well, repentance means that you actually have to have absolutes, that there's an actual right and wrong, and you have to change your way of thinking. Repentance is something that people don't like to hear anymore because it sounds so intolerant. Verse 20 reads this way of Matthew chapter 11. Then he began to reproach the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent. And he says this, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that occurred in Tyre and Sidon occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum," this is his hometown, by the way, "will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You shall descend to Hades. For if the miracles that occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." Jesus wasn't saying that, was he? Chapter 15, if you look with me in verse 10. Chapter 15, verse 10, he called himself the multitudes and said to them, "Hear and understand. It's not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. This defiles the man." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" And he says in verse 14, "Leave them alone. They are blind guides of blinds, and of blind men guides of blind men. Both of them fall into the pit." If tolerance is having no absolutes, if tolerance is not having a right and wrong, then yes, we're intolerant. If you're talking about tolerance, as Scripture says, we're not to go around condemning the world. That's not our job. I would agree, we should not. It's not our job. God has not called us to go around judging the world. It does tell us that we need to take stands within the brethren. It does tell us to do that. But if you're telling me to erase all sense of right and wrong and not to stand on right and wrong, I cannot do that. I cannot be in that regard politically correct. Ephesians chapter 5, if you read this with me, seems very clear about the way you and I should live our lives. And once again, I'm sure that the world would brand it as being intolerant of sin. Ephesians chapter 5 reads this way in verse 1. "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. And do not let immorality or impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among the saints. There must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks." Believers have a standard to be tolerant of sin. Would be hurtful, would be not walking in love. Why do you think it follows this way? Walk in love just like Christ. And then he says, and don't tolerate sin. You go, well, is he loving or isn't he? And I would say, he is. It's his love that won't tolerate the sin, because he knows how destructive that is in our lives. So a person who has no absolutes, a person who is tolerant of evil within the lives of his home, is not a person that loves his family. It's a person who cares not for his family. We are called to follow Christ. I think it's pretty clear that Christ didn't go around hating, but he took clear stands. And God so loved the world that he gave his son, that you might be free from sin. Father, we give you thanks for your word that puts us on track. We know that the world throws darts at us and tries to say that we're not loving. The world tries to say that by us allowing sin, we would be more kind. Yet we do not believe these things to be true. We have aligned our lives with truth and know Christ to be true. We give you thanks for this equilibrium that you have placed within our hearts. In your name we pray, amen.